My dearly beloved in Christ, we read in the very short gospel for today, which was the same for the Holy Day a few days ago, we read that the child was given the name Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And if you read the gospel account of the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel appearing to Our Lady and telling her how she had been chosen to be the Mother of God, those wonderful words, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And he told our Blessed Mother that she would conceive and bring forth a child, and she was to call him Jesus, and that he would be the, like David his father, of his kingdom there would be no end. But the angel again gave Our Lady the name. Also, the angel, very likely also Saint Gabriel, appeared in a dream to Saint Joseph when he did not know how Our Lady was pregnant and was in doubt and consternation. And the mystery of the incarnation was revealed to him. He was also told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins." So the name Jesus means Savior. And again, it was designated, chosen by God the Father for our divine Lord, even before the incarnation. We should always treat the name of Jesus, the name of God, with reverence. And indeed, that is the second commandment of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Tragically, so many do so today. They use the name of God or the holy name of Jesus carelessly, without thinking, just as a mere expression, or worse, in anger, cursing. So we have to be very careful. If you hear the name of God misused, make an act of atonement. Say to yourself, "Blessed be the holy name of God. Blessed be the name of Jesus," as we do in the divine praises. So, being that the second commandment comes to mind today, I would like to speak briefly about the first three commandments, because they pertain to our responsibilities, our duties to Almighty God, our Creator. The first commandment, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me," deals with the worship of God, giving God the honor that is due to him as our Creator and Sovereign Lord. The second commandment again, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," deals with the name of God. And the third commandment, "Remember thou keep holy the Lord's day," deals with the day that is set aside for the worship of God. So we have the first commandment, the duty of worshiping God, the second commandment, respect and reverence for his name, and the third commandment, to treat with reverence the day of the week set aside for the worship of God. You know that in the Old Testament, that day was Saturday, the Sabbath, and it was very strict. The people were forbidden any kind of work. In the New Testament, we observe Sunday as the Lord's Day because that is the day on which our Lord rose from the dead and on which the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles. And so in the New Testament, the new dispensation, that obligation of serving God and worshiping him one day of the week was transferred from Saturday to Sunday. But we know how the Pharisees had taken the commandment to rest on the Lord's day, had taken it to such an extreme that they found fault with our Lord for curing on the Sabbath, if you can imagine, as though he was breaking the Sabbath, as though he was working on the Sabbath. He's curing people on the Sabbath. How utterly absurd. That is where we get the term Pharisaical. But we want to be careful that we don't go to the opposite extreme and get careless about the Lord's day, working unnecessarily on Sunday. So you know that Sunday is a day on which we're obligated to attend Mass devoutly, but that shouldn't be the extent of our worship of God on Sunday. Maybe some extra prayers, a litany of the Sacred Heart or the Holy Name of Jesus would be a good practice on a Sunday, to pray, to give worship to God, but also to be careful that we abstain from unnecessary servile work. And you know that servile work is work of the body rather than of the mind. So studying, reading, writing, those would be permissible on a Sunday. Those are not servile tasks. And with servile work, if it's necessary, then that may be done on a Sunday. But we want to be very careful in this regard, not to do unnecessary servile work on Sunday. The other thing that's forbidden on Sunday is public buying and selling. Now, let's say that you made an arrangement with your neighbor to purchase something. Maybe he's selling his old car and you want to purchase it. Or you're selling your car and he wants to purchase it. Between two persons, that's not public buying or selling, so that would be permitted on a Sunday. But going to a store, public buying or selling, absolutely not. Now, in this regard, some have asked me this question: what about buying something with the use of the computer, the internet? Buying something on a Sunday, is that permissible or not? Well, it is not public buying or selling, but the problem I have with it is, you know, these companies that market things and sell things via the internet have people working around the clock 7 days a week. And so if you buy something on Sunday, in effect, you're causing that person to work on Sunday. Now, one of the things I've done is purchase of airline travel, because Sunday's a day I'm not teaching, I have time, and that's purely an electronic transfer. And there's nothing wrong with that on a Sunday. But again, if you're buying something from a retail company that sells things and you purchase on a Sunday, you're causing people to work and they shouldn't be working on Sunday. So that's a problem I would have with that. But in general, let us be very careful that we observe Sunday as the Lord's Day. And with these first three commandments, first commandment, the worship of God. Second commandment, reverence for the name of God. Third commandment, keeping holy the day belonging to God. This is how we give honor and glory to our Creator, our sovereign Lord. We acknowledge God as the supreme being who created us and keeps us in existence. Now, with regards to the first commandment, a few comments in that regard. How do we worship God? Primarily by sacrifice and prayer. Those are the two primary ways by which we worship God. And when I say sacrifice, I'm not talking about we make sacrifices, we say, which means like acts of self-denial, mortification during Lent or Advent or any time. That's not the meaning of the word sacrifice that I'm referring to. The strict meaning of sacrifice is that a victim is taken, and this victim is destroyed. It is thereby removed from human use in order to show honor to the Creator. And you know that in this Old Testament, there were many sacrifices that were done, even beginning with Cain and Abel and down through the history of mankind. Since our Lord's death on the cross, there is only one sacrifice pleasing to God, and that is the perfect sacrifice of God the Son. And every day during Mass, we have what we call the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. So none of the other sacrifices with animals, things of that nature, that were done in the Old Testament would be pleasing to God now, because those all prefigured the perfect sacrifice of Christ. And so that is why on Sunday we attend Mass and devoutly assist at the holy sacrifice, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. But you can go to Mass on weekdays as well, because sacrifice is the primary way by which we worship God. And also prayer. We should be faithful and have a routine of daily prayers, morning prayers, night prayers, the daily rosary. Thereby, again, we're giving worship to God. Also, the first commandment would include acts of faith, hope, and charity. Now, right before Mass, you recited a prayer on honor of the Blessed Trinity. And that gives expression to faith, hope, and charity. Faith, we believe in what God has revealed, even though we can't understand it. Because God has revealed it and His church teaches it, we accept it. That's faith. Hope is trust that God will be faithful to His promises. We believe that. We trust in Him. We have confidence. And third, of course, charity is love, the greatest of the virtues. So these three, faith, hope, and charity, are called the theological virtues because they have God as the object, as their object. And by acts of faith, hope, and charity, we are giving worship to God. So let us remember our duty as creatures to give God the worship that is due to Him, to be careful and respectful of His holy name, and to honor Him on Sunday by observing it as the Lord's Day, to give honor to Almighty God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, and to devoutly make use of the holy name of Jesus, which causes the devils to tremble and flee. When tempted, call upon the names of Jesus and Mary and repeat them devoutly for the strength and grace you need at that moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.